Welcome to part three of this Eastern Standard series, the final episode in our account of the disposal of chemical weapons that have been stored for decades at Bluegrass Army Depot, the people who did this very dangerous work, and now in this edition, how the closure of the project and its 1,400 jobs impacts the economy of Madison County and the region. As we heard in last week's edition from plant manager Michael Kester,
no one knows what the future holds, so we've got a little bit of time here to decontaminate this facility and close this facility out, so the world will be a different place here as we work through that process, and we'll just see what doors open.
And in this edition, we look at those doors. You may notice that some of my questions recur from interview to interview, and that's intentional so that we can get a variety of perspectives on some key issues. Eastern Standard is produced for WEKU by Dynamics Productions. I'm Tom Martin. Thanks for joining us. Dr. James Kirby Easterling is an assistant professor of global supply chain management in the Eastern Kentucky University College of Business. He has 22 years of experience as a corporate industry executive with Hitachi, Lexmark, and Corning, where he was on the development team that created Gorilla Glass for the iPhone. The author of Supply Chain Simplified, Dr. Easterling, is an eighth-generation Kentuckian born and raised in Pike County. Welcome to Eastern Standard, Dr. Easterling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. How are you this morning?
Doing very good, and I appreciate you taking time for us on this really important subject for Madison County and surrounds. As one who studies economic dynamics, what should the public anticipate as Richmond, Berea, Madison County enter into this final stage of the project?
I think there's a number of things that people throughout the community can be thinking about. This is not unexpected. When we think about, all these chemical munitions, all these, weapons of war that dates back for decades, even though there's been a lot of them, they're a finite amount, meaning that new ones aren't being made here on site. So rather, what has been happening is that this finite amount of chemical weapons, over the last several years has gone through the process of being destroyed. And at some point, that will come to an end. And the people in the community, those of us just everyday citizens, as well as, people at different levels of government, we need to proactively prepare for that. And the key word there is being proactive.
The work that goes on at the depot is often tied to world events. So there's been a tradition of scaling up, scaling down. And with the county economy closely impacted by this ebb and flow, does that make it difficult to make long-term plans, or is it just part of the picture?
Well, I think it does make it difficult to make long-term plans. When I think about, everything that's going on, I think about in the context of what we call a supply chain ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So a supply chain ecosystem, we think about, well, there's the work that's going on at the depot with the destruction of those chemicals, but there's lots of other companies that, have employees that are providing services. Everything from security personnel to maintenance team, food and beverage providers, uniform providers, truck drivers. It's a multiplier effect for every employee that is on site at the depot working towards the destruction of these chemicals. There's lots of other people working for other companies that, have a part of that too, albeit indirectly.
So it sounds as though when a project like this, which is, it is finite and comes to an end, and that's been anticipated for some years, but you mentioned an ecosystem there. And do you think that those other service industries and supply industries within the supply chain have also been anticipating this and thinking about how they will manage the transition?
I'm sure they have. I think all of these companies that, again, provide those kinds of auxiliary services, as they're sometimes called, I'm sure their management teams are, preparing, making plans for, how they're going to transition as well. That's just a part of how business operates.
Well, Madison County and Richmond have several task forces working on ways to manage a transition. Do you think the county is in a good position to attract industry that needs the skills of the Bechtel-Parsons workforce?
You know, I really do. 50% of the U.S. population is within an eight-hour drive of Madison County. You think about that. You know, our population in the U.S. is about 330 million people. So, you know, 160-some million people, half the U.S. population within an eight-hour drive. You think how fortunate we are to literally be on the axes of I-75 and I-64 with other interstates not too far away. You think about all of the different things that Madison County offers with, you know, a wonderful university, Eastern Kentucky University. I'm so proud. This is my 10th year there. We have Berea College. We have the work that the county and the state has been doing, preparing our workforce with, you know, the area technology centers and the career and technology center, so that employers, not only those that are existing, want to stay here, but we need to be continuously recruiting new companies to come here as well.
I know that you just recently cycled off of the Richmond Industrial Development Board. We don't yet know whether the Army has a successor contractor waiting in the wings, much less what skill levels would be required of its workforce. So with that big unknown in mind, how has the board been working to attract new employers to the area, whether related to the depot or outside of its purview?
The RIDC is a group of people. The RIDC is an arm of the city of Richmond. And the RIDC specifically is comprised of 10 or 12, again, very dedicated community leaders that are focusing on retaining the companies that are here now. And by companies, I'm talking mainly manufacturing, industrial type companies, but also recruiting new companies to come here. And that work often sort of happens behind the scenes. There's nothing secretive about it, but rather you can sort of put yourself in the perspective of a company that is looking at maybe different locations, maybe one in Alabama, maybe one in Tennessee, maybe one right here in Richmond and in Madison County. Those companies, they hold that information somewhat confidential, right? Because if their competitors found out, oh, they're looking to move to Madison County, well, then they might move to Madison County too. So a lot of this work that happens in industrial development, I would say it's not secretive, but it does often happen behind the scenes.
Well, how competitive is the industrial development field? I would think it'd be pretty hot.
Well, I tell you, it really is. The same kinds of companies that we want here in Richmond and Madison County are obviously the very same companies that cities like Bowling Green and Somerset that's had just tremendous growth over the last, you know, 5-6 years, Georgetown, even Pikeville, my home city. Those same companies that pay very competitively, and those kinds of companies that have 100, 200, 300 plus employees, there's not that many of them. So it's extremely competitive. And there's lots of things that, again, the hardworking folks at the RIDC do to try to attract companies to Richmond.
You know, the pandemic really threw a monkey wrench into the way our economy works. There's now a pretty large sector of the workforce getting the job done from anywhere instead of having to report to an office or a workplace. But there still are many industrial manufacturing jobs that just can't be performed at home. So
that's right.
Is that an advantage to Madison County?
I think it is an advantage to Madison County in that, you know, we have a growing population. We pull employees from, you know, the surrounding counties into Madison to work at our factories and in our industrial parks. And I think it's a great advantage that, you know, Madison County is just a wonderful place to live and work. People want to be here. We can think about all the things that's happening around us, new schools that are being built, new parks, not only new parks, but, you know, parks that are being revitalized. There's so many things that we believe, you know, differentiates Richmond from some of our competitor cities right here in our own state.
All right. That's Dr. James Kirby Easterling, Assistant Professor of Global Supply Chain Management at the EKU College of Business. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
In this hour, we're going to hear from three of the individuals and organizations Dr. Easterling mentioned, including Madison County Judge Executive Reagan Taylor and David Duttlinger, Executive Director of the Bluegrass Area Development District. We begin with the Richmond Industrial Development Corporation, where David Stipes is Executive Director. We thank you for joining us, David.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm glad to be with you today.
What would you say are the county's primary assets and its primary challenges, for that matter, that need to be thought about, recognized, and overcome as you go through this?
Well, we're in a good location here in Madison County. There's seven exits on I-75 in Madison County. And, of course, we're 25 miles south of a regional urban center in Kentucky with Lexington, second largest city in the state. Of course, we're home to EKU in Richmond and Berea College in Berea. And then both cities, Richmond and Berea, have got a significant industrial base. And so there is a diversity of jobs in the community. And, you know, when there is a loss of jobs, there's ways to make up those loss of employment because we have other sectors to pull from.
The Economic Resiliency Plan that was published by the Bluegrass Area Development District notes that strategic new industry recruitment will be needed and targeting specific industries based on the skill sets of the workforce coming available out of this chemical weapons demil project will likely provide the highest rate of success. Are new industries showing interest in that particular workforce?
Myself, along with other leaders in the community, came together and worked with the consultants that developed that plan and provided a lot of data. In other words, one of the things we did, we interviewed each one of the manufacturing plants in Richmond and Berea to try to find out what their needs were now and in the future for skilled employees, particularly those employees that would be coming available by when the chemical demilitarization operation ends. You know, a significant number of welders and chemists and administrative folks that have got a skill set that would be suitable in private industry, and to try to match up those skills. Also taking a look at maybe at some of the, you know, the income or the salary levels at what those jobs have to see if they could be replaced right here locally. You know, we've also got to remember, too, as when that chemical demil operation was scaling up and when they were hiring new people, several of those employees came from existing industries that were already here in Madison County. Workers are going to naturally go where they can get the largest salary, maybe the best benefit package, particularly, you know, if they want to stay close to home, workers are going to seek out those opportunities. So what we're hoping is that those employees that desire to stay in Madison County, many of those employees own homes here. They have, you know, their family members in schools, whatever. We hope we can find job opportunities for those people so that employment can be retained rather than being lost.
Madison County has benefited from the presence of the Chemical Weapons Disposal Project by receiving funding from FEMA and the Department of Defense for enhanced emergency services, including equipment and advanced training. And close proximity to those assets might be very attractive to some industries, but the funding that has supported them will soon go away. Is there a plan to somehow offset the loss of those funds and continue that sort of high level of emergency management?
Anytime you have a loss of funding, particularly a high-level federal funding like that, there are several plans in place to look for alternative sources of funding. That's on the minds of the elected officials as we speak to try to figure out, you know, is there opportunities through state or local funding to keep some of these, particularly CSEP and other mechanisms in place? And that will be an ongoing discussion. Thing to remember, too, is that CSEP also funded emergency operations in adjoining counties, adjoining Madison, you know, as they did the safety training and the safety work when the during the chemical demilitarization process, they had to be aware that their safety needs in adjoining counties. So not only Madison will be affected, but counties in those zones outside of Madison County that receive funds will also be impacted. And I appreciate you bringing that up about the loss or the chemical demilitarization project ending, because the impact of Madison County is not only going to be affected with the loss of jobs or wages, but we're going to feel the impact and the loss of other sources of funding, like for safety and CSEP funding and so forth that came. One of the things that we'll also feel the impact of is the travel money that came to the city and to Madison County by way of defense contractors that came here to Madison County, maybe stayed through the week, that spent time in the hotels, that spent travel money in the restaurants and you know, entertainment places around in the community while they were here doing their job. Those loss of that travel money will be a significant loss as well to the economy.
How can a county, any county that's facing a significant loss of jobs on this level, scale back current infrastructure, equipment, and services to remain within their budget, but at the same time remain competitive and retain the quality of life and provide the same level of services that citizens have become accustomed to since the 1990s in this case?
Right.
That's a tall order, I would think.
It is a tall order. Of course, you know, one of the things that we have on our side here in Madison County, as I mentioned earlier, is Madison County is growing rapidly. You know, close to 90,000 people live in Madison County now. And with our growing exits along I-75, retail growth and new retail establishments are coming to town and new jobs are being created by way of that. Plus, we also have people moving here from other places that are looking at a place along the interstate to live. Many of them are moving here because of access to medical facilities with a quality hospital that we have in Richmond and Berea, and proximity to specialists that they may have either here or in Lexington. So there's a variety of reasons why people are moving here. Along the way, too, with industrial development and business recruitment to the area, we're working hard to help existing businesses and industries here expand, and looking at grants and incentives that may be available for local industries to expand, businesses to expand. We're looking at that angle. We're also looking to attract new businesses that want to come to Richmond or Berea or Madison County. We're doing some work in our industrial parks to make some of the land more build ready to attract some industries that may come here. We also know that for example, some of the large industries that are coming to Kentucky, either in Bowling Green or in Elizabethtown in the Glendale area there with the new Ford plant, when those types of large opportunities come to Kentucky, other industries may spur the need for smaller plants elsewhere in the state. And so we're looking very closely at those and trying to make our community marketable.
Well, yeah, I'm curious. I'm sure you work with site location managers and consultants in your work. And I'm just wondering, if you do, what are they looking for, and are they finding it in Madison County?
Well, I appreciate that question. You know, when we respond to what we would call an RFP or an RFI, which is a request for information, that's generally what a site consultant will send out far and wide to communities, particularly if the company they're looking for wants to be along an interstate or maybe want to be in close proximity to a large population. Madison County in Richmond and Berea and Madison County get a lot of requests for information, RFIs, through the year because we meet those target goals that they're looking for. You have to know, if a company is looking to hire 200 people, they're going to look at the population trends and they're going to look for an area that's got the opportunity to find those people. And we do have that, particularly where we're in a community where we have colleges and you know, local schools. We here in Richmond, we know the county school system has just built two brand new technical training centers, one in Richmond and one in Berea. And of course, EKU has just created a manufacturing engineering career path. Berea College has grown. And so we have an opportunity to to really show off what the local community is doing to create a talented workforce. And that goes a long way in business recruitment. When a company comes looks and when we have a site selector comes, makes a site visit, we have some good things to talk about, because the competition for jobs, and particularly large employers that are looking at multiple locations, the competition is fierce. But we have an opportunity here in Madison County to really show ourselves off well.
Well, in the context of the winding down of the chemical weapons disposal project, what's next on your plate?
Biggest thing, I guess, on our plate right now is, how do we retain those jobs by way of local businesses expansion, and then to attract new business and industry to the area? And then, of course, the timing of that. You know, some of these jobs at the chemical demill site here in Richmond may be leaving us in the next several months. Some may be leaving over the next year or two. How do we bring all that together? It is a complex thing. For example, if a new industry, if a new factory came to Richmond or Madison County, it takes almost a year to get the factory built. Again, it depends on the complexity and the size of that factory. But, you know, you just don't open up, buy a piece of property and build a building on it and start production. It takes a while. And that's even the same thing with a new retail development. Many of you have seen some large big box retailers have seen that land develop. It takes a while for those jobs to become available, even though there's an announcement that there's going to be employment. You still got to know that there's some time involved before those jobs actually come to fruition. And we've got to be aware that any time business prospects are within our community, that are walking around looking at our community, asking questions undercover and without an announcement of who they are. And so all of us residents here in this area need to be on guard for that. That when people are looking, they're asking questions, and we may not know exactly who we're talking to at times.
What does the Madison County infrastructure look like in terms of what prospective manufacturers or industries are looking for?
As I mentioned before, the road network or transportation infrastructure that we have here in Richmond, Madison County, along I-75 with seven exits, opens up Madison County and is inviting to people that want to get off the interstate and see what we have. We're also located along the CSX rail line, which travels basically north-south through Madison County. That gives us a tremendous opportunity to move rail freight in and out of the county. And then also, we've got to remember that we have a utility infrastructure here that allows for expansion. Our utility infrastructure and water and sewer, electric and natural gas, as well as our cable systems, our fiber systems for network and so forth. We have those systems with available capacity here in the community, and that really helps us on business recruitment. Give you an example. If we had a company that wanted a factory that wanted to locate in the industrial park that needed a large dedicated substation for electric, there's opportunity for that. Let's say they needed, say, 1 million gallons of water a day for their operation. There's opportunity for that. Or if they needed a tremendous supply of natural gas, there's opportunity for that here. And so having that infrastructure in place helps us to respond positively to these requests for information. And many times the utility grid that we have here keeps us on the short list for future visits for these projects. And so, again, I try to educate the community that when we do build extra capacity into our utility infrastructure, it's costly, but it pays tremendous good dividends in the future.
David Stipes, Executive Director of the Richmond Industrial Development Corporation. Coming up after the break, what happens to a county's tax base when 1,400 jobs disappear?
If there's anything that gives me concern, it's that.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge.
I'm Tom Martin, and you're listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU.
This is WEKU Arts reporter Sherry Lawson with coming events and artist opportunities provided by the Kentucky Arts Council. Lexington Children's Theater will present The Smartest Girl in the World, September 16th through the 19th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit lctonstage.org. Woodford Theater in Versailles will present Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, September 22nd through October 28th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit woodfordtheater.com. Pine Mountain Settlement School in Bledsoe will host its Fair Day and Sorghum Stir-Off, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., September 23rd. Visit exhibitions of local food and crafts, shop from local vendors, and listen to live bluegrass and gospel music. For more information, visit pinemountainsettlementschool.com. I'm Sherry Lawson. Now back to Eastern Standard with Tom Martin.
As David Stipes mentioned earlier, local leaders in Madison County have worked together to produce a plan to transition to a near future without the 1,400 jobs involved in chemical weapons disposal. The plan was published earlier this year by the Bluegrass Area Development District, where David Duttlinger is executive director. The Economic Resiliency Plan notes that targeting specific industries based on the skill sets of the workforce that will be coming available will likely provide the highest rate of success. Mm-hmm. Are new industries showing interest in the area?
There has been some high-profile industries that are already, you know, very interested in what there is there to offer. Not, first of all, you can just begin with the personnel. We feel confident that we're going to be able to find jobs for these people. What we want to make sure doesn't happen is that we don't like see them transition and go to another part of the state, or even worse, go to another part of the country, take their skills and leave. And then that, you know, that leads to the brain drain and to, you know, the loss of talent. And we're trying to retain that workforce for Kentucky, because we want to have it not only for Kentucky, but also just to stay in Madison County. So you start with those highly skilled and trained employees that we have. That is probably the most valuable asset in itself. Then you move from there to, you know, a Department of Defense industry that has 1,200 buildings, 902 igloos with a storage capacity of 3.2 million square feet, you know, located on over 14,000 acres, with over 1,000 of those acres already developed into industrial land. When I say industrial land, I mean, we're talking with industrial level utilities, water, electricity, gas, in some instances, nitrogen and other resources that can be brought to bear onto different processes. And they've got the aprons, the security, the fences, the rail that comes into it, and access to a major interstate system. So all of those things combined, you know, available industrial land, strategic location, commuting patterns, competitive land cost, existing supply networks, all of those are things that equate to high levels of interest from national firms. And what we're trying to work with the Army on is what can we do to create a win-win in this situation? They finished the, you know, the chemical weapon demilitarization, but what military value can we do to create a public-private partnership that then would replace those jobs with high-paying other jobs that would have a military value associated with it?
I see here in the Economic Resiliency Plan that some surveys were done to determine what employees are planning to do once their jobs are eliminated. What did the findings tell you about how many people hope to stay in the area?
Yeah, so you're going to have some people that, you know, will naturally be ready to retire. And those people that are going to retire, they're going to stay in Madison County. They've bought homes here. Then there's people that have come here to Madison County that were brought in. And we have to remember that the Bluegrass Army Depot, I think, is the third or the fourth Army installation where this demil process has taken place. So some of these employers that have, and scientists that have come from Bechtel and other defense-related industries, have moved from New Mexico, Colorado, Alabama, and then into Kentucky. And so they may go back to headquarters. They may go back to Bechtel and move on to another job somewhere else. And we probably won't have, you know, much option of being able to retain those. And then there's others that are the younger workforce that's still in the prime of their workforce years, and they have several years left. They went to school in Madison County or went to college here in Central Kentucky. We want to retain those people and see that transition happen for them. But the one good news that I will point out to you is that in addition to all of those industrial factors that I've previously mentioned that provide a lot of interest to national companies, the quality of life and the, you know, the cost of living is highly competitive in Madison County. So like one of the data points that I share with people is that housing prices are pretty good. Annual average salary in Madison County is $44,000, but that equates to a purchase power of almost $49,000 in terms of U.S. purchasing power, because the cost of living is only at 90.3% of what the national average is.
The work that goes on at the depot is often related to world events, which are constantly churning. So there's been a tradition of scaling up, scaling down. And with the county economy closely impacted by this ebb and flow, does that make it difficult to make long-term plans?
You know, I don't think so. Not when it comes in terms of what the operations of the depot are. Now, obviously, the depot operations are tied to some of those things. I think that's what you're referring to, like world events and operations that might come on that we've seen, like activity increases at the depot when we were having the global war on terrorism. Then things started to scale back. You know, then we've got, you know, the war in Ukraine that's going on, an increase again in productivity in terms of flow of munition in and out. And then there's always the steady, you know, flow of work that takes place there, just because of the required logistic effort in terms of storing, maintaining, and preserving and working with the shelf life of the weapons that they keep there. But the one thing that I do see, that I personally see transitioning with the activity that takes place there, and this is one of the reasons why we were supported with this federal funds to do this study, is that Madison County is defined as being economically dependent on defense-related jobs. And that definition stems from, again, using some national averages, that overall the Department of Defense employs roughly 1.3% of the U.S. labor population. And so the national government says, well, if you've got 1.5 times that, or 1.95% in a community, then we're going to consider you economically dependent upon Department of Defense jobs. In the Bluegrass Army Depot, Madison County, we're way above that average. I mean, almost like 6 or 8 times higher than that, because the population in Madison County is 4.9% employed by DOD-related jobs. So that number could come down in the future, but what we hope to see is that number transitioning into other things where those skills can be used. Data centers, high-tech jobs, I already mentioned the auto-related stuff, chemical processes, any type of agricultural things that would support the agriculture industry. Aeronautical has been a big thing in Kentucky, and I think that Madison County would be prime suited for some of those opportunities in the future.
In your role, David, do you interact with site location professionals?
I do, yes. And in fact, I want to mention one of our important partners that we had in this study. We have staff here at the Bluegrass Area Development District, economic development planners. And then, of course, I mentioned all the different planning components, land use planning, transportation planning, infrastructure. But we still have to work with site developers in order to be able to be productive and to be effective. And so we actually did a request for proposals and did a solicitation to hire a site planner for this project. And we ended up partnering with MWM Consulting, and Lucas Witt and his team, Elizabeth Carter, and some of his other employees that he had there. They do a great job working with the Economic Development Cabinet, working at the national level, and being the economic developer for some of our communities. I think they maybe contracted with the city of Berea as well. Mayor Fraley highly recommended them. And so Lucas and his team came on, and they did a great job helping us develop this plan.
Well, we've talked about the assets that Madison County has to offer, and they are many and they are significant. I just wonder what you hear from site location pros about the challenges that everyone needs to be realistic about and to plan to overcome.
So the biggest challenge I think that we face is being able to find large tracts of land that you can immediately have site control on. I mean, site control is a big aspect of it. And when I say mega sites, we're talking like 1,000+ acres is what they're looking at. So when you think of like the Blue Oval situation in Elizabethtown for the Ford Motor Company and the battery company that's going in there, I think that they were like around 1,500 acres. It may have been more than that. And so piecing that together in Kentucky and you know, for those of us who grew up here, like, you know, when you heard of, especially in Eastern and Central Kentucky, when you heard of like farms of 100 acres, 200 acres, that was considered a pretty good size piece of land. So to get site control over multiple areas, combine them together, and then have the correct location and have it lay the right way where it's, you know, accessible to utilities and roads and access to markets. That's probably the number one challenge.
So in this transition phase, as the chemical weapons demil winds down over the next few years, what's immediate for you? What's next? What's the next thing you have to accomplish?
Yeah, so the next big thing that that we want to start focusing on is, even though it may have sounded like a small part when you're asking about the overall economic impact, but obviously I'm glad to hear that Judge Taylor is focused in on it as well. We want to start looking at that CSEP program, the Chemical Stockpile Emergency Preparedness Plan, because I think that's going to be one of the, you know, the first impacts that we're going to feel is that we're going to lose that funding, and all of a sudden there's going to be this huge deficit in the county and the city budget on how we continue to support those operations or transition those operations to other things that might be supported in another manner. So CSEP is a big one for the second phase that we want to start focusing on. And then the other one that I also alluded to earlier was that workforce retention and transition piece. So, you know, immediately, you know, we've talked about people who are going to retire. That's great for those people. People who are going to transition and go with Bechtel or some of these other companies back to headquarters or on to the next job that they might have. But it's those workers that are in their prime working years that are highly skilled, highly trained, and we want to make sure that they want their home and want to raise their kids here in Madison County and not leave. And so we got to make sure that transition and retention takes place. And so we want to identify, like I said earlier, the training and certifications they may need so they can be quickly reemployed at a value that is equal to what they're currently being paid.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here, but I want to make sure that we haven't missed something that was that you had on your mind you wanted to mention.
No, I mean, I think that we've hit a lot of the big things. I do believe that that Madison County is well positioned. It's not by chance that the Army chose to locate there 80 years ago when they came to the Bluegrass, and it was all because of, you know, the central location, the access to markets, the ability to move things in and out, and some of these, the same logistical advantages that the Army recognized will still exist for future employers that are gonna, I'm confident, will locate there. And so I think with the teams that we've put together, the leadership teams that have been in place, we see a great cooperation between our local governments, the counties and the cities, the chambers of commerce, the institutions of higher learning, EKU, Berea College, UK, citizen involvement. All those things are, to me, ingredients for a recipe for success. And so we got a transition period to go through. We know it's a big hurdle, losing 1,500 jobs, but it leaves me with a lot of optimism and a lot of confidence that we're going to find a way forward to great success.
That's David Duttlinger, Executive Director of the Bluegrass Area Development District. And thank you so much, David.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time.
Closure of chemical weapons disposal operations at Bluegrass Army Depot is very much on the mind of Madison County Judge Executive Reagan Taylor. We got in touch. When did you first become aware that the Army was storing chemical weapons in Madison County?
Well, I knew they were storing chemical weapons since I was a little boy, I guess. I mean, now I don't know if I really understood it as a little boy. But I couldn't even remember when I didn't know it.
So it's really been a part of your life, your whole life.
Yeah, I think anybody many generations back that grew up in Madison County, you know, you've always, I think the federal government, the Army's always been a big part of our community. You know, my my grandfather back in the mid-40s was a firefighter, you know, out at the Bluegrass Army Depot.
You were elected judge executive in 2014, I believe. Is that correct?
I was, yes, sir. It's November of 2014. I took office in I think it was actually January the 5th, I believe.
Okay.
Of 2015.
Okay. And now you're into a third term.
Yes, sir.
So as you were running for this current term, you mentioned in a Q&A with the Berea Citizen newspaper that the last couple of years have kind of challenged your resolve. And I wonder if, are those challenges related to the chemical weapons matter or just the job in general, because it's a big one?
Yeah, I think the job in general. I think from the Bluegrass Army Depot, I guess, position, if there's any kind of a worry or concern there, it's the financial concern of the D-mill plant going away. Now, I want to make it clear, and everybody needs to understand, that the Bluegrass Army Depot is not going away. The chemical weapons will be completely destroyed, and that D-mill process will be going away, which is a lot of jobs. And so from a financial position for the county, you know, I think if there's anything that gives me concern, it's that. It's not the safety of our community.
By 2026 or so, the chemical weapons demolition mission should be concluded, and that'll mean that loss of occupational taxes to support local government operations in the county and the city. Will the county have sufficient revenue streams to offset the loss of those tax dollars?
Yes, sir. That is our plan, and that is definitely my hope. We have been working the last couple of years on a post-CSEP reality in Madison County. We've met with a brother, I call them brothers and sisters in governments in Richmond and Berea many times. We've got several different task force that are working together to kind of create a plan of what it will look like. I have the utmost confidence that we will not allow this to be a negative impact on our community. Where focus is that this will be a positive impact on our community, and that we will have jobs in place that will help offset that loss, where there is no loss in finances for the county and revenue.
Well, I think we all know the pandemic really threw a curveball at us in the way that our economy works. And now, of course, there's this big sector of the workforce that can do their jobs from just about anywhere instead of having to go to an office. Has that factored into your thinking about the future?
It has some, but I think that for our community, there are some jobs that people can work from home. But at the end of the day, I feel like more people really still like going to the workplace and the interaction with colleagues. And I think for our community that there's still a need for a workplace, which means there's a need for a workforce in the workplace. And I think the things that we're going to look for when we're talking about recruiting industry is we're going to look for industries that are complementary of the workforce that we do have at the Bluegrass Army Depot. Those jobs will be going away. It's approximately 1,400 jobs. Not all those 1,400 jobs will be replaced, because some of the surveys they've done out of that workforce is some of those folks will be retiring. Some of those folks will be moving on to another location somewhere else. But there's a tremendous amount that want to stay here. And so for those that want to stay here, I think we have to support their experience and what their background is in, and try to be able to recruit industry here that'll be complementary to them.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of those jobs are really highly skilled and have to be hands-on in a workplace. It can't be done from home.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, the Department of Defense and FEMA funding funneled to Madison County has provided millions of dollars and financed pretty extensive emergency preparedness and public safety initiatives and programs and equipment to meet the threat of a chemical agent emergency, if there was one. With the chemical weapons now destroyed and the cleanup underway, those funds are going to disappear. Are you concerned about an impact on Madison County emergency management capability?
I am, but again, CSEP's not going away until all the agent is destroyed. And all the agent is not destroyed yet. They have just met the treaty mission, but the surety mission won't happen for I'm going to say another couple of years. So we still have some time. We have some task force in place, some working groups in place of looking at what will be from an emergency response standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint, what it's going to look like for us in the future. We are making plans for that. And we had some upgrades here towards the end where the new 800 megahertz radio system, some of those first responders tools, we made some changes for those upgrades and leading up to a post-CSEP Madison County of what is it that we needed. We implemented new radio siren towers. We limited the number of them, not from a coverage standpoint, but from an infrastructure standpoint, went from like 90 poles to, well, once CSEP's over, about 60, 65 poles. Now, the coverage area is not different, but the infrastructure is less, which will be less costing us over time. And so we were looking at ways to be more efficient and to be able to have the services that we're providing from a more efficient standpoint of being able to afford it as a county. You know, that's one of the biggest challenges, Tom, is that the CSEP program has been around for, I mean, we could say almost two generations, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they say a generation's about every 18 years. So this has been around about two generations. And so really and truly, it's created a standard to taxpayers in Madison County that they haven't really had to pay for, right? I mean, from us paying for it at a local level, it's been something that the federal government, you know, FEMA, the Army has paid for us for over 30 years. I mean, it's created this standard. And so one of the toughest challenges is going to be is, hey, we're used to these things. We expect these things. I'll say citizens deserve these things. But how are we going to pay for it? And that's some of the things that we're trying to figure out over the next couple of years before CSEP ends.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, people have expectations. I guess in these times, it might be wise to kind of calibrate those expectations according to what you're able to work out. But I can see how you'd be under pressure to retain the current quality of life and provide the same level of services that folks have been accustomed to since the 1990s.
Right. Yeah, it will be a challenge, but, you know, that's why we have to always be willing to speak the truth and share the challenges that we have with our citizenry. And, you know, this is not a new topic. You know, we have been talking about this and bringing awareness. I guess I've done 7 state of the county addresses. I've been in office 8 years, but I missed COVID year.
Uh-huh.
COVID year, I didn't give a state of the county address, but I can't remember if my first one or second one, you know, we talked about, you know, CSEP and the D-mill going away. But I know in the past four or five state of the county addresses, I've spoke about this. You know, we're always trying to educate the citizenry and keeping them informed of what's going on.
Well, in that Berea Citizen interview, you mentioned that nobody likes to hear the hard facts, but you have never let that stop you from telling them.
That's exactly right.
What are some hard facts concerning the end of the chemical weapons demolition that people need to hear?
You know, being able to afford, you know, an 800 megahertz radio system that is somewhere around a $20 million cost. And when we have to replace that in 20 years, I'm sure the price tag on it's not going to be $20 million anymore. I'm sure it's going to be more. I mean, all the fire trucks, the vehicle equipment, the message boards and security lighting and just the numerous things that the CSEP program has funded for our counties and our cities, that's going to be on our dime. It's going to be on the citizens' dime in the future. And when I say the citizens' dime, it's going to be on the 95,000 or less citizens' dime. What do we have, 350 million people in the United States? Well, for 30 years, the CSEP program has been funded, in a sense, by 350 million people instead of just 95,000. And so it's getting ready to be on the Madison County's dime. And so that's a challenge. I mean, that's something that Madison County taxpayers need to understand. And again, I want them to have the facts. And we got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. And then the other one is the economic development impact, the occupational tax impact on our community.
Well, whatever happens next at Bluegrass Army Depot is, of course, in the end, up to the U.S. Army. And given the powerful and successful community pushback against the initial plan, which was to incinerate those weapons back in the mid-80s, Are you confident that the Army will communicate its plans and coordinate, most importantly, coordinate with the community?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. The military, the Army, I think, is a good partner to Madison County. I think they have been in the past, and I really believe they will be in the future. They put a lot of focus in on keeping our community safe and working with us throughout this process. And I do want to say there's really two sides to the Bluegrass Army Depot. You know, you have a munitions side that has been supplying munitions to the warfighters for many, 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 many years. You know, the things that are going over in Ukraine. I mean, the military has been supplying them with munitions to help Ukraine out. And I'd say the majority of those munitions have come right out of the Bluegrass Army Depot. And so that is not going away. A lot of people think because the nerve agent and the chemical weapons is destroyed or in the process of being destroyed, that the Bluegrass Army Depot closed down. It will not. And there's some working groups there that are working with the Army on looking at opportunities to bring an industry in that supports the Army's mission. There's some opportunities there, potentially. I'm appreciative of Leader McConnell and Congressman Barr's input in this as well. They've pushed some legislation at the federal levels to get some economic development studies done actually on the Bluegrass Army Depot to see if there is some industries out there that they can identify that would be a good addition actually inside the fence that would be like a military contractor type industry. And so, you know, we're excited about that opportunity. I think on all levels, you know, we've got eyes and ears and people working together to really make sure that this has a positive impact on our community for the next 100 years. Tom, you mentioned it 30 plus years, mid-90s. Well, we want to make sure that the CSET program and this initiative, it leaves a legacy here in our community that has a positive impact.
All right. Well, is there anything that I haven't brought up here that was on your mind before you began this interview that you wanted to make sure that you shared with your constituents, with citizens of Madison County?
I guess maybe the only thing I would add there is please don't speculate. If you have questions, if you have input, if you want to know what's going on, reach out to the folks that know. Call my office, call our emergency management team, call our chief, Tim Gray. Is a great asset to call if you really want to know the truth.
That's Madison County Judge Executive Reagan Taylor. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for joining us for this final edition of our three-part series about the disposal of the chemical weapons that had been stored for decades at Bluegrass Army Depot near Richmond. Eastern Standard is produced at the studios of Dynamics Productions. Mike Savage, executive producer, G. Marie Hibbard, series senior producer, Neil Kesterson, sound designer and technical director, Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. We're online at eswEKU.org, where you can check out the Eastern Standard Archive, our series, our partners, and more. And you can sign up there for our weekly e-newsletter. Want to call something to our attention or suggest a topic? Our email is es@eku.edu. I'm Tom Martin. Thanks for listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU.